In this episode, we take a look at the Bechdel test and beyond. So we're looking at tests that measure how media represents groups like women and other marginalized groups in society, and how that affects how we see ourselves. We also look at the male versus female gaze and discuss my very favorite party conversation about the mothers of Disney princesses.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jamie. We have a kind of a cool topic today.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, I think.
This is kind of a feminist episode.
I mean, I think they all are.
That's
but yeah,
true.
Yeah, this one is.
It's more focused.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the Bechdel test
and
beyond. We're going to talk about some other sort of tests and ways to sort of measure how media is portraying people. And we're going to put our main focus on women, but we're going to talk about some other focuses too.
Right. We talked about the Bechdel in another episode.
We did. And we talked about it in an Obsessed segment.
Right.
And we actually had some feedback where people were like, can you talk about that more?
Right, exactly.
It's one of those things for me, I know this happens to you too, where I will bring up the Bechdel test in just a conversation thinking that everybody knows what I'm talking about. And then I realize that a lot of people don't know it or have heard of it, but don't really get it.
Right.
So I want to talk about it, but I want to say why I want to talk about this stuff first.
Okay.
This isn't just because we love feminism. We do.
No, yeah, we do. Right. We all should.
But this has to do with conditioning.
Yes.
So we talk a lot on the podcast about your conditioning, how your culture conditions you.
Yes.
And a big proponent of that is media.
Yes.
So when you want to understand why you're conditioned or why you have some of these issues, sometimes it's like, you know, my mother didn't give me that sort of feeling. She didn't say that. So why do I have these weird feelings about myself?
Right.
It's because it's literally everywhere around you all the time.
In seemingly unimportant ways.
Yes.
But they're all very important.
Yes, exactly. So I know that women will love this episode, but I really have a hope that they will have some men in their lives listen to it too. Because I think it's incredibly helpful for men to understand this, that they also are affected by these things.
Right. And tell your kids about it. Let your kids know.
Yes.
I mean, if I had known about this when I was in junior high or high school.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't have shut up about it.
No, exactly.
And now we're doing a podcast episode on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So here you go. All right. So let's start with the Bechdel test and let me explain what it is.
Okay.
So this was something created by cartoonist Alison Bechdel. It was in the 80s, the late 80s. She was really frustrated with all of the portrayals of women that she saw, and she felt like it was very unrealistic.
Right.
So she created this test. It's kind of like a litmus test to see, do movies pass this test?
And once you know it, you can't unknow it.
It's really frustrating
right.
to know it. Before I tell it to you, I want to make it clear that just because something passes this test does not make it like a feminist movie.
Right.
Just because something fails doesn't mean it doesn't have powerful feminist themes.
Correct.
This is more of a measure of that conditioning and that portrayal of women and how we're taking in like the expectations of society on us.
Yep.
Okay. So here's the three elements to the Bechdel test.
Okay.
It has to have, this is for a movie, it fits a TV show, a book, you can apply it to anything.
Okay.
A music video, we'll talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So number one, it has to have at least two named women in it.
That sounds easy and it's actually not.
So many fail.
Unnamed women.
Or there's just one woman who doesn't have any interaction with another woman.
Right.
Okay. Number two. Those two women or more have to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And number three, what they talk about has to be something besides a man. So to pass the Bechdel test, a piece of media has to have at least two named women who talk to each other about something besides a man.
when you hear it like that, it's so cringy. It's so bad. But then when you start applying it, you're like, oh my God, this is everything that I've ever watched.
Yeah. And the ones that pass barely.
Right. Pass. Exactly.
So I think it's really important. Again, you're never going to be able to unsee this now. Mm-hmm. So sorry, not sorry.
Right.
But still to this day, this came out, this became popular in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But still to this day, 40% of movies still fail.
Wow. It's incredible.
It really just shows that you need more women writers and directors and producers and like all of the stuff. I mean, we have plenty of them. We just need them in the right rooms.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I thought I would tell you some things that fail.
Okay.
All right. Lord of the Rings, all three movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Harry Potter, The Goblet of Fire fails.
Really? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to play it back in my head.
Well, because you're thinking of Hermione as a strong female character, mm-hmm. but how often do you see her talking to other females?
Right. And then even if it's not romantically, she's always talking about Harry.
She's always talking about a man.
Right. Okay.
Sorry. The Avengers. The first movie, The Avengers.
Wow. Okay.
That fails. Avatar fails.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Some kids movies. Ratatouille fails.
Oh, because they're all mice.
But they're the female mice do not talk to each other. Sadly. Toy Story 2 fails. I know. I was like, Jamie's going to hate this one.
No.
Fails.
Really? Wait. I'm thinking about it. Wait. Isn't that the one with Jessie?
Uh-huh. When does she talk to another?
They're always talking about Andy.
But when does she talk to another female?
Never. Like maybe to Bo Peep or something.
Yeah.
I really love Toy Story.
I know. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But isn't that kind of alarming? You again, yeah. You have a strong female character in that movie.
Right.
We all love Jessie's character.
But it's all about her talking about a boy. About
and
a
when dude. Does she when does she even speak to another woman? You no. know? So you gotta it's rough.
But again, like to your point that it doesn't mean that it doesn't have feminist undertones. I mean, mm-hmm. Jessie was holding her own with Buzz and Woody.
Absolutely.
I didn't know coming into this I was doing like a Toy Story dissertation, but I'm ready. Wish, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I wish
for
you
it.
Guys could see her too because she's really amped up. Her hands are moving. She's leaning in.
So Jessie can still be a strong feminist character, but mm-hmm. she doesn't pass the plot, the story, the dialogue doesn't pass the test.
And doesn't that still speak to mm-hmm. not just maybe if it's feminist or not, but how women are seeing their connection to other women in
right.
media?
Yep. Okay. Absolutely.
Wonder Woman, what? The 2017 movie fails.
Well, that's terrible.
She does not speak to another female about someone other than a man.
Really? Mm-hmm. Not even like saving the world? Mm-mm. Wow. That's too bad.
She talks to other men about it.
Right.
Not to other
females.
Another
woman. Right.
There's also a lot of stuff that you can look up. It's really interesting about how they portray female friendships in movies.
Yes. Right.
Big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Lara Croft Tomb Raider fails.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm just pointing out it can be a strong woman lead.
Right, but also
clearly
like,
written by a man.
Right, I was going to say, what's the lens is for men? That's the male gaze.
Exactly.
You know.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, really?
Fails.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
And then, like, movies that are considered chick flicks. I don't love that term.
Yeah, I don't really either.
Okay, but 50 First Dates fails.
Well, yeah, because it's a romance, yeah.
And My Best Friend's Wedding, I love that movie, fails.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I could see that, too.
Isn't it frustrating?
Yeah.
Okay, but to the point that it doesn't just represent, like, feminism or not. The music video, Baby Got Back, passes. Because think of the opening line. Becky.
Right, exactly.
Look at her butt. They're talking about a woman.
They're not talking about a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not being very nice.
No.
But yeah, I see what you're saying.
And they're naming the character.
Yes, Becky. Exactly.
So my point is
that's
that...
That's a fluke, I think.
The point is that things can pass and fail, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's like a feminist movie or not, or they're doing right. women dirty or not. But what does this conditioning say? That's to me the more interesting thing. Like, what does that say about how women and girls are growing up seeing other women?
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point.
How often in your life have you like existed in like only like you didn't pass the Bechdel test, like you only spoke to men, and when you did speak to another woman, it was about a man?
Not often.
Never.
No. I mean, maybe in high school, like, I mean, I think girls are sort of trained to be really focused on their love lives and, you know, all that stuff. Like, like we like girls to be boy crazy.
Right.
With, you know, our society likes that.
Sure does.
But even then, not really.
No. You know? It doesn't, it's not accurate. No. Is the point. Okay, so I thought this was interesting. A survey of 120 films done by the Gina Davis Institute on Gender in Media.
Okay.
Yes, Gina Davis, the actress.
Yeah.
31% of named characters were female. That's it.
Wow, that's disappointing.
Yeah, and this is relatively current.
I mean, considering that we're about 51% of the actual population.
Yeah, and that women consume more media than men.
Right. Just, exactly.
Yeah. 23% had female protagonists or co-protagonists. That's it.
How many?
23%.
Oh, that's disappointing.
So my point is that go ahead.
But we're not... The problem...
yeah.
Is that those movies won't sell. Because men are trained to only want to hear their own stories from their own perspectives, from male voices. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like... You know, companies that are funding these big movies, these big productions, they're worried that they're going to lose half of their audience just by having women in them, which is awful, but also like a product of our society.
A product of our society and inaccurate, because women are
the major consumers of
this. So it's really, really an interesting, it reminds me of like when some men talk about like the WNBA and they're like, well, we don't want to fund that because no one's going to go see it. And I'm like, what?
Right.
How, what are you basing that on?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, right. But if you fund it and if you promote it and you advertise it, of course people will go see
it. Exactly.
So it's this interesting like tunnel vision that it's like a weird loop that you get stuck in. It's like a chicken or the egg, right?
Exactly.
Where it's like, well, to get out of it, we have to stop doing it. But all the evidence you have is based on basically how men consume media.
Right.
You know?
When they're not the ones who are actually consuming it the most.
Correct.
Right.
It's just all created for them.
For and them.
Women are just used to not seeing themselves represented.
Well, that's why you don't realize that the Bechdel test isn't being passed until you learn about it, because it's just all you know.
It's just all you know.
Right.
So I think it's interesting when you start to look at it and start to go, wait a minute. And I think we should be calling it out more.
Yeah, I agree.
I also think this is why I really only like to read books written by women.
Same.
Because once you start identifying with characters, which for me was not until I was like an adult. There wasn't many women characters I would see on movies or TV that I was like, oh, I see myself in that.
Right.
I might have thought like, oh, I wish I was like that.
Yeah.
But I remember starting to see it and being like, I love this.
Yeah.
And like, so with books, I feel like, you know, those books where it's clearly written by a man and like the woman walks in the room and it's like about how her perky breasts jiggle so towards awkward. It. Like,
yeah.
And then there's those funny things where like, imagine if we described men like that, like their balls, you know, trampled forward as they walk. Like, nobody would want to hear that. It just points out how absurd it is.
Right. And the perspective is off.
Yeah. Like, I remember watching shows like New Girl and Parks and Rec and having these like quirky women characters.
Yes. 30 Rock.
30 Rock. Yeah, exactly. Who are like smart women who were quirky, who in the show, like men still liked, but they weren't under the male gaze all the time.
Yes.
They were like well-rounded characters that I could see myself in.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. Once you see it.
Why do I like this so much?
Because it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get to see yourself.
So I'm just posing the question, like, when was the first time you saw yourself in a character? Like, just think about that, because it's probably hard for you to think of.
Yeah, I can't. I'm coming up with nothing right now.
Yeah, it's really tough. In addition, there's the feminist character trope.
Okay.
I hate this. So anytime in a movie or a TV show, there's a character who's a feminist.
She's mean.
She's mean. Mm-hmm. And she's a feminist because she can't hack it with the men. The men don't like her.
Right.
She's usually portrayed as ugly or overweight.
Or she's too, quote unquote, too masculine.
Yep.
For men.
Exactly. So she's not, and this whole story is like, well, why would, like, of course a man's not going to like that. Like, of course she's going to be a feminist because men don't like her.
Right.
She's always pointing out the most absurd things. Like, as a feminist, it drives me crazy because they'll show a female character who, like, just interrupts somebody and, like, starts to spout out, like, abortion rights facts.
Right.
And I'm like, I know real feminists and am one, and we don't do that.
No, and that's what proliferates this, like, anti-feminism ideology in our countries, because that's all a lot of people know about feminism is this very caricaturized version of feminism, which isn't accurate.
And it's like a jilted woman. Mm-hmm. She's jilted by a man. Mm-hmm. And so now she doesn't like men. She hates men.
Right.
And I don't know any feminists who hate men.
No, I don't either, actually.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to point out that Gloria Steinem really, like, wrecked this whole thing for people. It's why people had such a problem with her, because she was a beautiful, she still is beautiful, but back when she first came out in the 70s, really beautiful woman who was a feminist, and it threw people for a loop.
Right.
There's quotes of people being like, I don't understand why she's a feminist. She could easily get a man.
Right, which just proves that you don't know what it is.
Yeah, or they're like, why does she care about equal pay? She could have any man she wanted. Interesting.
Good point.
So these kinds of things really just perpetuate this.
Absolutely.
Another thing that's my favorite, I have to play you this clip because when I saw it, it was another thing that I was like, okay, I can never, ever unsee this again.
Uh-oh.
So it's Reese Witherspoon, and she's giving a speech about what made her start her company where she, like, produces movies and shows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what she points out, you're going to hear in the beginning, but it's the fact that she was getting frustrated that in every single movie she was in or was watching, at some point, a woman would turn to a man and say, what do we do?
Oh, yeah.
And her whole thing, I'll play it for you, is when in your life has a woman not known what to
what
do?
What to do.
All right. So I'm going to play you a little clip.
Too.
Yeah. So I just want us to notice this stuff more. I want us to see these tropes because I think the more you see it, the more you can say, like, I'm done with seeing that in movies. I'm not going to see movies. That's what's going to make them change it.
Right. And I can hear all the arguments that are like, well, those are plot devices. That's how you develop dialogue between characters. Well, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But let the guy ask the girl.
Yes.
Right? Like, why does it always have to be the girl asking?
Yeah. And look at life.
Right.
And think to yourself, how often as a man has a woman actually turned to you and asked that?
Right.
Versus how much have you turned to a woman and asked her that?
That's a really good point.
I'm not saying women never ask men that.
Of course not.
I'm just saying when there's an emergency, most people all turn and look at the woman.
Right. And that point about like telling kids to go look for another mom, like go look for someone safe that can help you. You say a mom, you say a woman.
Yeah, a woman or a mom. You say go look for that. Just saying.
Interesting.
All right. Well, I have a few more tests to tell you about. Okay. I have a trope that I spent way too much time in my whole entire life, like years and years and years being bothered by and researching.
Oh.
Has to do with Disney. I think you know what it is.
Oh, yes.
And then I also want to talk a little bit about the male and female gaze, but let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll come back and do that.
We'll be right back after this short break.
You know what goes great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep. Beans roasted in-house. Amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes. I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh. I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
Hey y'all, it's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week.
All right, Heather, this week we are once again obsessed with a TikTok.
Yep.
That you sent me this time.
Yep.
And it's a really good one.
I like it a lot.
So it's really interesting because at first I was like, what's this about? But I liked it a lot. And it's a woman who is explaining this theory of what a trauma glimmer is.
Yes.
Not a trauma trigger,
mm-hmm.
but a glimmer. And she said that it's anything like a smell, a song, a sound, memories, places, or people that like pull you out of a trauma trigger. Mm-hmm. They do the opposite of a trigger, right?
Exactly. It's like a soother or something that snaps you out of that state that you're stuck in.
Right.
When you're in like the trauma.
Right. I guess it was termed by a trauma specialist named Deb Dana.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
Absolutely. That's incredible. But I guess the point of it is that it's a place of safety that you can find when you're feeling triggered or like mm-hmm. in your trauma, maybe on the verge of like a panic attack or something like that, that it makes you feel safe. It brings you joy and it soothes the trauma.
You know what I felt so rattled by when I saw this
mm.
is like, wait, why did we not think of this before?
Right. Like, why don't I know what mine are?
Yeah.
Like I watched it twice.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are mine?
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's very telling that right. when we talk about trauma,
right.
we do sort of what we do in like the medical field of like physical stuff
mm.
where it's like total focus on like the symptom and yep. like the problem and yep. all of that. And I'm not saying it, there shouldn't be focus on all those things.
No.
There definitely should be.
Mm-hmm.
But we spend so much time looking at that and talking about that, that we don't look at the things that like help us out.
Yeah. It's such a good tool to know.
Yeah. And like, you know me, I want to go deeper and I'm like,
right.
wait, why is that
right.
the thing that gets you out?
Exactly. And you probably know a few of them sort mm-hmm. of intuitively.
Yeah.
Without actually ever verbalizing it or really thinking much about it.
Right.
I'm sure there are a couple things that are your go-tos when you're really stressed out or really upset.
Right.
That you don't really consciously think about.
Right.
But imagine if you had a list of things that you could go through.
Yes.
When you were feeling upset by something.
Yeah. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, all right, let me think of what they are. And I had to sort of start with going like, what sort of things do I just feel comforted by?
Mm.
Because it's not always like, I need to get out of this trauma. But to me, I'm looking
right.
at like, what sort of things do I do when I'm like, okay, I need comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I mean, I'm a Taurus, so there's going to be a lot of like homey-ish stuff.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, I put on my like really big oversized sweatshirt.
Yes.
I sit down and I have a snack.
Yep.
I drink coffee, like a warm liquid.
Yep.
So if you kind of start there, mm-hmm. it's not too much of a departure probably for what your glimmers are.
Right.
Like what kind of things are you using to kind of self-soothe and bring yourself out of that?
Right.
For me, the other things I was noticing when I was being more specific about like trauma stuff that was coming up, mm-hmm. I would be like, oh, I have to move.
Oh, good point.
So I'd be like, oh, I need to go for a walk. I need to change the scenery. I need to look at something different.
That's interesting because I'm the opposite.
Okay, what do you do?
I would have to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I would have to be like, nope.
Tune out.
I'm checking out for 15 minutes. I'll see you on the flip side.
Perhaps if I could nap.
Correct.
That would be something I would try.
Right.
But I also think that there needs to be, for me, and I wonder if this has to do with like your clairs. Sorry, I'm like live thinking of
yeah,
this.
Exactly,
I haven't thought of it yet. But like as a clairvoyant person.
Right.
So everything is visual to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like the scenery needs to change. I need to be looking at different things.
Oh, good point.
And you're claircognizant.
Right.
So it's sort of like I have to pull up different files.
Right.
It sort of makes sense that you would need to kind of go to sleep and reset. Right.
It's like exactly.
It's like restarting your computer.
Calibrate. Right. Exactly. It's a good point.
I don't know. I just thought of it right now.
Yeah. No, I like it a lot. So I just wanted people to know about that. I just thought that if you can start thinking about things like that.
I would love it if people would tell us what they thought theirs were, because I feel like when I hear someone say what theirs are, I'm like, oh yeah, I do that too.
Yeah.
But absolutely. Like, I don't think of it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll post that TikTok on our Instagram stories.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay, Jay, I want to tell you about some more sort of movie litmus tests.
Okay.
That really show representation and speak to conditioning.
Okay.
All right. The first is the Mako Mori test.
Okay.
So here are the guidelines for this test. There has to be at least one female character.
Mm-hmm.
Sad that that has to be written.
Yeah, exactly.
But, okay. They have to get their own narrative arc.
Okay.
And it has to be not supporting a man's story. So the arc can't be in support of a man's story.
So that feels more comprehensive to me than just like the talking to another woman about not a man. Like if you have a character arc,
yeah,
then you're really in it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
The amount of movies that fail this is disturbing.
I bet.
And a lot of the movies that you would think would pass it actually don't, because mm-hmm. the character arcs of a lot of women are in support of a man's mission or a man's arc.
Absolutely.
So I think that's interesting.
This conditioning is really important.
Yeah.
I mean, I think to a lot of our listeners, it might sound obvious,
mm-hmm.
but I think when you really start to think about the subliminal conditioning that we receive growing up, it's really overwhelming when you start to think about it.
Well, yeah. Like how many women do you know that struggle with finding their path or prioritizing their own needs or like even having a hobby that they like,
right.
or doing things that are outside of like caretaking other people.
Right.
It's every woman I've ever met.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You can't tell me that media is not playing a big part of that.
Oh, it definitely is.
We don't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is my favorite.
Okay.
It's called the sexy lamp test.
Was it from A Christmas Story?
It's inspired by the light lamp.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. This is a sad one though.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Mm.
The test is if you can remove a female character from your plot and replace her with a sexy lamp and your story still works.
Oh. Damn it.
Think of every James Bond movie, basically.
Yep. Yeah, that tracks.
That's a rough one. It's funny.
Yeah, but it's true though.
It's very true.
Right.
So just watch a movie or a TV show. I was looking into this test. And they said like season one of The Big Bang Theory. I don't know if you ever watched that. Mm-mm. But the character of Penny does not pass the sexy lamp test. Now, later in seasons, she does.
Okay.
But look at like TV shows and things and look at movies, look at books. And like, would the storyline still work?
If she wasn't there.
If she was a lamp.
So women are just props.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I know. It's a rough one.
Mm.
Okay. The next one is the Vito Russo test.
Okay.
So the question here is, does the film contain a character that is identifiably LGBTQ+? Is that character not solely defined by their sexual orientation?
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Okay.
So are they not only defined by their orientation or gender identity, as well as is it tied into the plot in such a way that their removal would have a significant effect? So not just like the gay best friend.
Right. The token gay best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're going to have a hard time finding movies that hit all three of those.
You certainly are.
Because it's just a, I mean, I feel like especially gay men mm-hmm. or gay characters mm-hmm. are used as like comedic relief.
Yes. The same as like an overweight woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But mm-hmm. to like give them substance, to give them a character arc.
Yeah.
That's so, like, what we want to see.
They are a character that is, let's say, a gay man or a right. lesbian. But if that wasn't there, mm-hmm. if that wasn't identified that they were that, would that character mean anything?
Right.
Is there exactly. anything else to the character?
Right. What else are they bringing to the table?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then if you removed that character, would it have a significant effect? Yikes.
Yeah. Yikes is right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We need to do better.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is, I believe it's pronounced Deggan's rule, but it's mm-hmm. D-E-G-G-A-N. And I couldn't find anybody saying it, but okay. that's how it's.
Deggan's rule.
Yeah. yeah. It has to have at least two non-white human characters in the main cast in a show that's not about race.
Yeah. That one's going to be hard too.
I mean, talk about representation.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. The next one is Duvernay's test.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit more complex, but when you hear what it is, I think you'll be like, yeah, this is ridiculous that we don't have this. Okay. You probably can't think of any. Okay. So this one is, there's complex characters. The story that passes the test must feature at least two characters of color. They must not be in a romantic relationship together. These characters must have complex lives rather than existing only in relation to white characters.
Mm-hmm.
The people of color in a story must have names, and the characters of color must have dialogue, and their conversations must not be about supporting a white character.
God. Yeah, no.
No. So here's the thing that I want to make sure we say. As two straight white women,
mm-hmm.
we are not represented in media. That is alarming and bothers us.
Right.
But the only element of it that's not represented for us is the female.
Is the gender. Right.
Never mind people right. of color or LGBTQ+. Like,
right.
there's so little representation besides white male.
In that last one, that if you do have characters of color or black characters,
mm-hmm.
or if it's a full black cast,
mm-hmm.
then you only see it on BET. Like, it doesn't get
right.
It doesn't get shown or advertised
mm-hmm.
to the whole country or the whole world, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. it's put in this little box of
like only, it's niche or it's, something,
right? Like, only these people are going to want to see it.
Yeah. And it's the same thing you were saying before, where like filmmakers are like, well, these movies don't sell,
right?
But like, with women characters,
that's because you don't promote them or buy them or air them.
Exactly.
Right. Like, imagine if we just saw it.
Yes.
I mean, that's how I mean, this is sort of, when people are like, Jamie, why do you love rap and hip hop so much?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, why yeah. do you love Biggie Smalls so much?
Well, I mean, you shouldn't have to explain that, but.
People are like really yeah. thrown by it. They ask me all the time.
Yeah.
And it's because I watched BET, because I was a latchkey kid in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
We had cable.
Yeah.
Cable was my best friend after school.
Yeah.
And so I just watched what interested me.
Yeah.
Right? And I loved that music.
Yeah.
And so I had access to it.
You were exposed to it.
I was exposed to it and I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously I respect it. I don't appropriate it, like right. that whole thing.
Right.
But if you're not shown it, if people won't put it on their networks,
mm-hmm.
if commercials won't be run during them,
mm-hmm.
so they can't make money,
mm-hmm.
then they're never going to get the time they deserve.
Exactly. And as a little white girl growing up, The characters of color that were on any TV show mm-hmm. did not pass any of these tests. They were like the black friend.
Right.
To have that one representation. And they didn't have their own character arc. They were maybe in a relationship with another person of color.
Right.
Like, but there wasn't anything to them besides that. And it was like, oh, look, we're including that.
Right.
But you're actually not letting me relate to them at all. And right. that's a huge problem.
What's that one show I'm dating myself, but this show with Urkel and the Winslows.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, what's the name of it?
Family Matters.
Family Matters. I got it. There you go. I was going to say All in the Family, and that's not it. there's some representation for you.
Yeah.
Right? A black family.
Yes. But the problem is it won't pass this because exactly. It's only black people in that.
Exactly.
It's not a mixture.
Right.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't have that.
No.
We absolutely should. I loved that show. I watched Same. It. I wasn't looking at it through a lens of color.
No.
But that's part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just find that interesting.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and I think it's really problematic.
Instead of networks like causing all this hullabaloo about like blurring out someone giving the middle finger or not allowing like a vagina to be shown on screen, I would rather them use these tests to make sure everything coming out is passing them.
Yeah, or instead of spending your money to like put a rainbow flag during the month of June on your like on your t-shirts, on your merch.
Yeah.
Put your money
Where
your mouth is.
Show us the characters.
And give us some real, like, quality, substantive content.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, I have to bring up my Disney thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is one of those things that sometimes I bring up at a party. I don't really go to parties, but I would say a gathering.
Okay.
I'm too old for parties.
I was going to say, I'll allow a gathering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know that I hate small talk.
Same.
But this is one of those sort of like, let me pull something out of my pocket that will dazzle people a little because it freaks people out.
Yeah. When I, who hate small talk, will just be quiet and not talk to people because I don't know what to do. This is what you do.
I'm like holding court, giving a lecture on Disney
about Disney princesses. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm in the corner like, thank God Heather's. Thank God Heather's talking to everybody and I don't have to.
You were doing like the supportive nodding. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm exactly. Very good at that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So here's the thing. I didn't come up with this. I did not create it. It was pointed out to me in my early 20s by somebody.
Okay.
And it became something that, this sounds so cheesy, but it really shifted my perspective into seeing a lot of this stuff.
Okay.
And that was that most all Disney movies with Disney princesses are motherless.
Yes, exactly.
So it goes, I want to talk more about it because it goes deeper than just not having mothers.
Yep.
But I just want to give you some examples.
Okay.
I want to talk to you like I would at a gathering when I'm giving a lecture.
Right.
Okay. Snow White. What do you know about her mother?
I don't know. What do I know about Snow White's mother? She doesn't have, does she have one?
Exactly. There's no mention of her mother.
Yeah.
She's nameless. And she does have an evil stepmother.
Right.
We're going to talk about that.
That's who she's hiding from.
Yes. But there's no mother. Remember her father marries this evil stepmother?
Yep.
Okay. Beauty and the Beast. What do you know about Belle's mother?
She's dead.
Okay. What do you know her name or how she died?
No.
Is she ever mentioned?
No, I only know the dad's name. It's Maurice.
Okay.
Because I love that movie.
I know you do. That's why I made sure it was on the list. Okay. Cinderella, what do you know about her mom?
She's dead too, right?
Yeah.
She has an evil stepmother also with the terrible sisters.
Yeah. Do you know Cinderella's mom's name or how she died?
I'm sure it was tragic.
Yeah, it's never
mentioned. I have no idea.
How about in The Little Mermaid, Ariel? What do you know about her mom?
Nothing, only King Triton.
Yeah. Again, nameless, no mention.
Yeah, where'd she go?
We don't know.
I mean, she has many sisters.
Yeah.
Ariel does.
All named with the letter A.
Right, in the oceans.
The oceans, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, in Aladdin, Jasmine. What do you know about her mom?
She's got to be dead.
She doesn't exist. She's nameless, no mention. Now, this one's problematic, this movie, but I'm going to bring it up. Pocahontas. What do you know about her mother?
I mean, I'm sure she was murdered by the colonizers.
Probably.
But how about in the movie itself, I have no idea.
No mention, nameless.
Yeah.
Okay. Once you see this, it's really alarming. Now, I will tell you that my favorite Disney movie, princess movie, was Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. There is a mother in this.
Mm-hmm.
She has no speaking role. I believe they might mention her name. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And she's the weakest character ever.
Yeah.
She lets her daughter be taken, doesn't stand up to Maleficent.
Right.
So any strong women are evil.
And even in Frozen, the mother dies on the boat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dead parents
everywhere. Galore.
Especially mothers.
Right.
And so when you look into this further, you look at like why.
Entangled. Sorry, I'm on a roll.
Go ahead,
here.
Keep going.
Entangled. She was stolen by Mother Gothel.
Yeah, her mother didn't do anything.
They
about didn't. It.
Yeah, they couldn't find her.
She had an evil mother, not a stepmother, yeah, but kidnapper mother.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. No, I digress.
No, keep going. This is
this why it's good at a party.
Yeah. Because people are sitting there like, wait, what about? Oh, like this is what's happening.
Right. Because then I was like, well, no, there's a mother in the Lion King, but that's a boy. Simba's a boy. Yeah. He's not a princess.
Right.
Right.
So the theory is that male writers don't know how to have a female face a problem if there's a strong woman in her life.
Wow. Right. Right. Like then there's no problem. There's no plot.
Yeah, like that. Like basically, what they're saying
come and fix it.
Is that Belle would have never even gone there if there was a mother to the castle, or if she had, her mother would have got her the heck out
would
of there.
Would have saved her, right?
Yeah, I mean, and again, for each character.
Wow.
Now, is it possible? Of course,
right?
But that men could not figure out how to write. This is a theory,
right?
But that men could not figure out how to write coming of age women having like a major problem doing like the character arc, the like hero's journey,
right,
with a strong woman around.
Even if that theory isn't right, there is still a theory, because there's not a chance that this is a coincidence.
No. And the thing that like a lot of people will bring up is that Walt Disney himself accidentally kind of murdered his mother.
He did.
I mean, it's sort of a stretch, but so
what?
The story goes is that she, see why this is so good at a party, Jay? Oh,
seriously.
Yeah, okay. So she, her and her husband, so Walt Disney's parents, moved into a house that Walt Disney bought for them once he like started to make money. He bought his parents a house.
Okay.
And something was wrong with the furnace. So Walt Disney sent people who worked for him, not like furnace
company,
workers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not people who do that for a living.
Okay.
To fix it. And it didn't work and it burned down the house and they died.
Holy shit.
So they're saying that like the reason is because Walt Disney blames himself for his mother's murder. So he killed
all the
women.
So he kills all the mothers? That doesn't make any sense.
It does not make any sense.
He should be saving the mothers in the stories.
Also, Walt Disney is not writing these.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, he's the one percenter taking all the money from the writers.
Exactly.
Right? He's the Jeff Bezos of of Walt Disney World.
Yeah. Right. I mean, RIP, but yes.
Yeah.
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 So I just, here's the thing. I really think it's that men don't know how to have a woman struggle.
Right.
If there's a strong, or a girl struggle into womanhood, if there's a strong woman around.
And if there's a support system there, they wouldn't have to come in and be like swooped up by the prince or the king or whoever.
That's what I was just going to say. They can't use their like male gaze or the way that they see men as heroes to save the girl if there's a woman around.
Right. Because then you're not a damsel in distress.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That's gross.
It is gross. So I want you to think of your favorite Disney princess, everyone listening. And I want you to think about the mother character. And the thing that's crazy, it's not that just like, oh, there aren't any. They're not even named and they're not even mentioned.
Where's Tiana's mom?
No mom.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I know.
Sheesh.
I know. So now that you know,
okay,
you can't unsee. But again, don't you think that has a huge impact? Because there's this thing that people say, and I always want to take it a step further, where they're like, well, all those princess movies end as soon as they get married.
Yes.
And you don't see like these amazing stories of women who are married, and you certainly don't see them of women who are married to like supportive men.
Or like women who are like becoming mothers and having children and like functioning like that either.
So what do you think that conditioning says?
Right. That you're just supposed to take your happily ever after and be quiet.
Yeah. They're supposed to fade into the background once you become like a woman.
Yeah.
It's gross.
When it's really so much work.
When really all the real interesting stories are probably to those married women or unmarried women who are having kids and trying to raise them.
Right.
I would like to know how Cinderella did in that castle. Did she bring the mice and the
birds? What? Absolutely.
I mean, they wave to her from the place at the end. They don't look like they come.
Oh, that's no.
How
did she do
in that situation?
She definitely brought them.
I mean, this is a girl who was locked in an attic and severely abused. And then it's like, okay, now you're the princess.
And now you're good.
And I'm supposed to believe the interesting story happened before she got married?
Right, exactly.
Like, wait, to a guy she just met?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Who didn't remember her face? I could only remember her by her shoe.
Oh, God. It just gets more and more problematic the more you look into it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also that she had really small feet was like a big thing.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yep.
Weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to talk about is the male gaze versus the female gaze.
We talked about that in an Obsessed, right?
We did. We've talked about this before.
So interesting.
It bears repeating.
Oh, it bears probably its own episode.
It probably does. If you guys want that, let us know.
Yeah.
But I want to bring it up because I think it's important here where it becomes very evident sort of in two ways to me, the female gaze versus the male gaze.
Yeah.
One is I can tell when I'm watching a movie or a TV show where a woman has written a character versus a man.
Yep.
Both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second thing is when men get really baffled as to why women love this character in a show that they don't see as like
masculine,
the heartthrob,
right?
They get very confused, and this is where the male gaze versus the female gaze really comes in for me.
Definitely.
Okay, so just to explain what it is, the male gaze is like looking at all people through a male lens and what men like. One of the biggest examples of this, and it's gross, is like the Transformers movies. I have to admit I've never seen any of them, but Megan Fox was in them, and she was, I know she was under 18. I don't know how old she was.
Oh, I don't know.
But the whole, every way that they show her is like she's leaning into a car to fix it.
Very
like,
exaggerated.
Right? Yeah. So it's a very, like that would be the male gaze on a female.
Right.
Okay. The parts that I find more interesting though is the male gaze on men.
Exactly.
So men like men who are like really muscular and strong and shirtless and like,
or they're told that they're supposed to like that.
Yes,
they're told that that's the goal.
Yes, that's right. The male gaze,
right?
That this is what the women like,
right?
And then they get baffled because that's not actually what appeals to women,
because you see women like sweating a guy's like wrist and forearm.
Yes, as or hands.
Like, as he's like playing the guitar or like chopping vegetables or something. And you're like, and men are like, why do women love that?
Yeah.
And it's because that's how, that's through our gaze. That's the male gaze for women.
Yes. It's the female gaze.
It's a female gaze.
Yes, exactly. So you see this in men and women characters. And like Harley Quinn is a good example. So the first Harley Quinn movie or the first movie she's in was directed by and produced by a man.
Yep.
And so she's very sexualized. Mm-hmm. In the next ones, I believe there's two more. I might be mistaken.
I think you're right.
Okay. She looks very different. And these were produced by women.
Right.
So her whole look changes and she appeals much more to women in those films. And men would complain they didn't like her as much in those films.
Annoying, first of all.
Yes. So a couple, I have two examples that are kind of like my favorite examples of the female gaze when it comes to men, because I think it's the one that I see men being the most baffled by.
Yeah.
And women are like, duh.
Right.
Okay. So the first one is Thor versus Loki.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Okay. So you have Chris Hemsworth playing Thor, who's like muscly, blonde, long, flowy hair.
He's the male
blue
gaze.
Blue eyes. He is the male gaze. Yes. And not just muscly, but the kind of muscle that like lives on top of muscle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then there's Loki, who plays his brother.
Right.
Who's played by Tom Hiddleston. Also a very handsome man.
Yeah.
But not
ripped.
Not ripped.
Also, I mean, like, muscly, fully clothed.
Fully clothed all the time.
Right.
He doesn't take his shirt off often.
He's smart. He's cunning.
See, you're starting to talk.
Exactly.
So, men think that women like Thor.
Right.
But it's men that like Thor.
Yes.
Women like Loki. And men cannot understand why.
Right.
So, there's a couple of great reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, he's smart.
Exactly.
Women like that.
He's funny.
He's funny.
Yep.
He's cunning.
Yep.
He's a trickster.
Yep.
All things women.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
He also, in no storyline or elements, is expecting women to be attracted to him. Women like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. If you walk in.
That's a good point.
Like Thor.
Right.
To a room. And like you have like a fan blowing your hair back.
Yep.
And you like flex.
Yep.
there's not going to be a lot of women in the room that actually are like, great. I'm going to be like, what a douchebag.
No, I'm turning around.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Just on principle alone.
Yeah. Right. Like, come on. Yeah. Give me a break. Right. Yeah.
And I see a lot of guys on TikTok in particular that are really upset about this whole
such conversation. Weird thing to be upset about.
Because the defense that I hear is, well, this is what we're taught as men, that we have to look like Thor, mm-hmm. right? And that's the expectation is Thor. So then, right. then we try to meet that.
Right.
And then you're telling us that we're not good enough.
Right.
And the problem is...
I'm glad you're saying the problem with that. Yeah.
Is that you're mad at women about that.
Right.
When it's not men women who have told you that.
Yeah.
It's men who create the male gaze
yeah.
that you feel pressured yeah. to live up to. And I completely validate that yes. that's a pressure that men feel.
Absolutely.
Just like women feel pressures to live yes. up to certain visuals that we don't want to, right?
I mean,
like,
and it happens in reverse too.
Of course.
Where women think what men want is
yes.
what you see portrayed. And then they get sort of surprised when a man's like, I saw a TikTok trend where they were saying like men like the little fupa bellies.
Yes.
It's like, well, that's not portrayed anywhere.
Yeah, no one told me that.
And that's a newsflash. So like it goes both ways, certainly.
The thing is to don't be mad at women about it.
Yeah.
Like then you're out, then you're lashing out at women, then yeah. you're mad at women, and then, yeah. then you become an incel, right? Like that's yes. how you get down the incel pipeline.
And the irony to that is that when you're saying that frustration, you're saying something very feminist.
Exactly.
When you're saying, well, I'm frustrated because I was taught that women like this. You're right. saying something that feminists have been fighting to free you from.
For decades.
Yes.
For decades. But you're mad at women about it instead of being mad at society or patriarchy mm-hmm. or other men
yes.
or toxic masculinity, yes. whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
That's where the work is. It's right. not like lashing out at women and hating women.
Exactly. And it's not that women don't appreciate a muscular physique on a man.
Oh, right.
If I saw a man walk in with Thor muscles, I would be like, wow, that guy works out a lot. Like he really cares about that. He looks nice. Good job, young fella.
Right. But that's not how you sell a movie to a woman.
No, but I'm not like now obsessing and correct. like writing my own fan fiction for that.
Exactly.
Just to be clear, I've never written fan fiction, but you know what I mean?
Oh my God. I want you to write it right now. Okay. Right now.
But a character like Loki,
yes.
women are more interested in.
Right.
So I wanted to look at a specific character. And this one is going to be a little bit hard for you because I know you're not a Star Wars person.
I know I'm not.
Okay. But for the Star Wars people.
Yep.
Kylo Ren is okay. a character that has caused a ton of like
should
confusion. Yes, you can. It's Adam Driver, please.
Oh, I know him. Got
okay.
it.
Okay, you got it. Okay.
In his hands.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's part yeah. of it. Yeah. Okay. So it caused so much confusion because men couldn't understand mm-hmm. why women love the character of Kylo Ren
oh,
so much.
Oh, right. Yes.
They were very confused. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men didn't like him. They were like, he's not a good bad guy. We don't like him. And women were like, talk about fan fiction.
Right.
If you like a few of the wrong TikToks, mm-hmm. you are on just Adam Driver.
Spicy Adam
Kylo
Driver.
Ren spiciness. And you don't even know how you got there. And you're like, oh no. But it's a real thing where people are like very much in love with Adam Driver, but because of his character.
Right.
It's sort of how I feel about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
I love Sherlock. Him as Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Okay. I don't actually love him.
Well.
I could take him or leave him. He'd probably disappoint me if he wasn't like solving a mystery. I'd be like, what the hell is your
I
problem?
Do like him as the other guy.
Doctor Strange?
Yeah, I do like him as Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Those are similar.
They are. Right.
Sherlock and Doctor Strange are,
yeah.
they're in the same family.
They are. Very smart.
Archetypes.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing with Kylo Ren, when you do some research and like you start to ask women why they like him and men why they don't understand him,
mm-hmm.
it gets real interesting. And I actually have a couple of pictures I'm going to show you and maybe we can post them.
Okay.
They're like little GIFs of him. Mm-hmm. So women like Kylo Ren because he shows a lot of emotion.
Oh, I love that. And
okay.
anyone.
So he's, you know how they're women love a broody character?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this is like not my... I didn't come up with this. This is like smart people looked into this.
Right.
The reason that women like a broody male is because he's emotional. And that's really the only way women see male characters as emotional.
That's interesting.
So he's showing emotion.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Now, the character of Kylo Ren, you haven't seen, but just slight backstory for you. Princess Leia and Han Solo had a kid, and it's Kylo Ren.
Oh, okay.
Luke Skywalker betrays Kylo Ren when he's Ben Solo and, like, almost murders him. And it turns Kylo Ren to the dark side, and he starts to want to be, like, his uncle Darth Vader.
Oh, okay.
This is the storyline.
Gotcha.
So you watch this tortured man mm-hmm. go through the world.
Okay.
And he shows so much emotion on his face. I'm going to show you the pictures so you can react. That this is why women love him. Okay, Adam Driver is handsome. Mm-hmm. He's not like the weird, like, have you seen the things that's like Aryan standards of like,
oh, yes.
you know, why people are attractive? He's yes. not that.
No, he's not.
But I'm going to show you some things. So, first of all, he has a giant scar on his face.
Interesting.
Second, all right, here's all the hand shots. There's a lot of hand shots.
I love the hand.
Women love
they
hand
do.
Shots. Yeah. I can't see him taking off his glove. It's like a slow motion. I can't really get into why women love that. It's explicit, but use your imagination and you're probably right. Okay, so there's one shot of Kylo Ren with his shirt off.
Okay.
And the thing about this shot in the movie is that it's in the first one that he's in, is that it's an accident that he's being seen this way. And he's like awkward and like, like, he was just caught that way.
Right.
He didn't walk in. And, like, his pants are on awkwardly.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see it in the picture?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And then here is Kylo Ren emoting. So that's a lip quiver.
That I like a lot.
That's him getting really upset. See there in the mm-hmm. second one? In the third one, he's really experiencing some emotion.
Wow.
Okay. So you take a tall, handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
And you make him very emotional.
Right.
And also very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a lot of women enjoying
that. Well, and herein lies sort of this microcosm of our country is mm-hmm. that, like, then men reject that.
Yes.
Because it's emotion and women lean towards it.
So the same reason that men are saying they don't like Kylo Ren because
right.
he's so emotional.
Right.
Is the same reason why women are all in love with him and
right.
writing fan fiction and... you get stuck on a TikTok side that is
right.
just like
right.
worship of Adam Driver.
Right. But that's why there's that resistance in our society about what men want and what women want and how that, people are perceived.
And to your point, it's causing people to have the wrong conversation.
Right.
It's causing them to say like, well, we should be mad at women for this, or we should be mad at men for this, or men and women like different things. When in fact, the entire problem is the conditioning.
Well, right. We need to look at like... how we see gender mm-hmm. as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole problem with gender is that
yeah.
it's so stereotyped and delineated
yes.
that you, it's, they've, gender has become these teeny tiny boxes
mm-hmm.
that if you don't fit perfectly inside, then you're outcast.
Exactly.
Right. You're
exactly.
unlovable.
Yes.
You know, it's also very extreme.
Yes.
That's why the work is in deconstructing gender.
It is. And the way that you start to influence this change in the media is making sure that in the rooms where the decisions are
right.
happening and the writing is happening, there are people who are making sure
right.
that these things are being represented.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way I could write a character of color in
no.
a way like that
Nor
would
should
be ridiculous.
You.
No, of course
right.
I shouldn't. That's why if I was part of a project that had characters of color, there should be people of color in the room.
Right, exactly.
That's why when you're creating a movie about a woman, there should be
the
women
in
the
room.
Room.
Exactly.
This is important. And it
right.
isn't just so women can see themselves represented. It's
right.
so men can understand that women aren't one-dimensional.
Right.
And that like this conversation could change and that we could say, yeah, I don't like... did they always portray men as those big, huge, muscly things? That's not even what I like.
Right.
There's a whole side of TikTok I got on.
Mm.
Again, I think it's by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just like something because like I feel like I want to root for the person who did
I do
the
that
TikTok.
Too. Yeah, I do that
And then
too.
It gets me into a weird algorithm. So I liked this guy, this creator. I can't think of his name, but he's like a bigger man with a beard. And he's like, women actually like bigger men with beards. Like
right.
this is a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, why aren't we talking about it more? And so I liked it. Cause I was like, that's
good for you, buddy.
That's awesome.
Right.
And so what he was doing was showing like this man going out is this like bigger, heavier set man with a beard. And he was saying to women, would you date me if I lost weight?
Oh, I saw that.
Okay. And the women were all saying,
I date you now.
Well, you don't need to lose weight. Like
right.
that doesn't actually matter to me.
Right.
And then when you go further, it's like, well, what does matter? And women were saying like, well, men who talk about how they feel, men who want to actually mm-hmm. connect with me, men who make me feel a certain way when I'm with them is mm-hmm. more important to me than how much they weigh or being muscly.
Right.
And the men were shooketh.
Yeah. And some of the men were mad about it. Some of the stitches on those were vile.
But again, against the wrong people.
Right, exactly.
Listen, I'm not saying that men who are conventionally handsome and who have muscles and dress in a certain way, that women don't like that.
No, I mean, I love The Rock.
Oh, yeah, I love The Rock, too. But you probably like him for his personality.
I was just going to say, because he's so funny and
smart. If he had a different body type, you'd like him the same. Exactly. He can sing. Right. I mean, yeah.
Right.
So it's just, I think Chris Hemsworth probably is a great mm-hmm. guy.
Yeah.
But like, so it's not like, oh, well, those men, like they I see suck. Them in society, like right. they do have women around them. Of course.
Right.
Of course. Women are also taught to that.
Right. They're good guys too.
Yeah. Right. But it's this whole thing where like men think they need to do that for women. Exactly. And the thing is you're mad at the wrong people.
Exactly.
We didn't create this.
We didn't create those expectations. We didn't create expectations about women.
No.
Right.
If you just asked us what we liked, we would gladly tell you.
Right.
Bring us food. I love getting flowers, but I also really love getting tacos.
Same.
I mean, we're married, so I don't know who these tips are for, but noodles is
noodles.
Bring me noodles. So I think it's important that we talk about this so that we see where the conditioning comes from so we can really work hard to change it.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of changes there. I can see that people are trying.
Yeah.
We just need a lot more.
Agreed. Just get more people at the writing tables.
Exactly. So I think you and I should go have coffee and have a conversation that passes the Bechdel test.
I think most of ours do, actually.
They all do. Okay.
Hey, everyone. Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.